broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our program, Truth is Our Bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. I'll be at the NAB in September. We'll be on a panel with Bubba the Love Sponge. Joel Denver will be moderating. It's a broadcast thing, but we'll be there, and we'll be in the faces of all. Of course, I don't want to talk too much about broadcasting because, you know, in any event, it's just going to put me in a bad mood. Tim Steelworth is upset with the Planet of the Apes film. Who's he? We'll find out. Ted Bell weighs in on whether or not a new stadium will be built in Los Angeles. An 83-year-old woman has breast enhancement surgery. And tonight's affiliate Spotlight is on KFMB in San Diego and WLEE in Richmond, Virginia. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What?
Why'd you say that?
Well, I'm not supposed to talk about inside baseball. I won't do that, you know.
Well, I mean, nobody talking about.
I know no one knows what I'm talking about. I got on the air. You guys started talking about stuff inside the broadcasting business, which, of course, you know is going to piss me off.
Well,
then why did you bring it up?
I didn't talk about nothing broadcasting business. It's just about which bit you want to do first.
Well, you know that ties in with my whole retooling of this radio show. Okay, so I'm coming to this radio show every night with a good attitude, I'm in a good mood, and I feel really good, and then you guys got to bring up the radio industry. In other words, you bring up something that has nothing to do with the creative effort. You bring up these jackasses in suits. And then I'm not supposed to talk about that, because that's inside baseball.
Not my fault.
No, it's not your fault. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com. Tonight, if you're online with us and you're looking at Phil TV, it's okay, bud. I didn't mean to get angry at you.
I didn't do anything wrong. I just started to tell you about that.
Yeah, that's all I did.
All right, I understand. I'm sorry, bud. You know, what are you doing?
Petting Ted the Bear.
Petting Ted the Bear? Wow.
Well.
Ted, how you doing, buddy? Of course, I'm talking to the bear, so. All right, so our website is philhenryshow.com. If you are watching live streaming video of the show right now, you are looking at, behind me, the faces of the three concubines. They, of course, I don't know what they are, man.
Three ugly white women is what they are.
That's true. They're three ugly white women. And anyway, they are, of course, and you don't see the third one because my face is the best-looking girl I'm blocking with my big fat ass. So, that is what's on the video here tonight on Phil TV in HD. Now, I want to thank all of you guys that weigh in on PHS Ideas. I want to thank all of you guys that weigh in on PHS Ideas at Twitter, I should say, and also Phil Hendry, or rather, Real Phil Hendry at Twitter, and all of the other contact and that we have with you. Everybody coming over to the website, it's a lot of fun. It's really great. We appreciate it. And as you know, those of you who are with us at PHS Ideas, we thank those who donate or contribute ideas to the show every night. And one of these days, we're going to have to start, like, giving away something, you know?
Well, I was going to say, man, I mean, you can't keep asking people, you know, hey, man, give me an idea, and you can't pay them anything.
Well, wait, hold the phone here, man. What do you mean pay them?
Well, you got to pay a guy what he's going to do, everything like that.
You got to pay a guy what he's going to do, everything like that.
You said you got to pay a guy, man, what he does, helping out the show.
I don't have to pay anybody, man. I'm thinking about giving him maybe a coffee mug or something.
Coffee mug? Ha, 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 ha. Well, I wouldn't even pay for tap water.
Oh, get a load of you, man. Well, you want to become their agent or something?
All he's saying, man, is you got people donating an idea every night. You're going to have them maybe come up. You want to cough up?
Yeah, cough up.
Yeah, cough up.
I'll cough up. Get out of here. Cough up. I think they're very gratified that they are allowed to do. Get out of here, will you? I got to get my guest on the air, and I can hear him very patiently waiting. Tim Steelworth is a Vietnam veteran, and wrote us an email earlier today concerning the film Planet of the Apes and or Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Ride an Ape. I don't know what the hell it's called. What is it, bud?
Yeah, it's just called Ride on a Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Ride on the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's called Rise of the Planet of the Apes or something like that. It is a big, big hit. It's a bust-out boffo thang. And anyway, here is Tim Steelworth. Tim, sir, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, it's always my pleasure, Phil.
And Tim, this film has attracted your attention as a veteran. And where do you live, by the way?
I live in San Diego, California, Phil. By the way, I found out about your program. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Turn that down, would you? I found out about your program here at KFMB in San Diego. I just heard you mention them.
And great people there.
Wonderful station. Wonderful station. Wonderful station.
Yes, and they've had our show on for a long time.
They've had it on, and I've listened to your program. And, of course, I'm here in San Diego, which is a military town. There's no question about that. We've had the Navy base here. We had the recruitment depot here, as you know, Phil, for a great many years, the Marine Corps.
And what branch of the service were you, sir?
I was a United States Marine.
Okay.
I'm a retired captain. I did a tour in Vietnam. I trained here in San Diego, Camp Pendleton. I was part of the officer corps, and we did a lot of ballistic training in Texas. And I was very proud to serve my country. And that's why when I came home from Arakahoo, which is a cabin that we've got in Wisconsin, and I saw that the film was out now, this Rise of the Planet of an Ape.
And Rise of the Planet. We're having a hard time with the title.
Yeah. Well, no, the title is Rise of the Planet.
Rise of the Planet of Apes.
Rise of the Planet of Apes. Rise of the Planet of Apes. Someone had written down Rise of the Planet of an Ape.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, sir, that is the name of it.
All right. Here is my problem, and this is what got my consternation and my attention at the same time, young man. And again, Phil, thank you for your service to our country. I realize you're just a talk show host, but in many ways, when I hear people that are patriotic and care about this nation, as you do, it gives me a great feeling. It makes me think that a lot of the guys that I left in Vietnam and elsewhere around the globe did not die in vain.
Of course not, sir.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Of course not. And I know that you guys that came back from Vietnam, you came back to a much different America than it is today. But even those of us who were opposed to that war do appreciate very much you and your service.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Bill. The question that I've got for you and for any of the people that are listening on your program tonight is how long are we going to have to witness the rollout of these movies by Hollywood that are looking for every chink in the armor, that are looking for every possible way that you can bring this country down?
Are you seeing this film as an expression of that?
Absolutely. I absolutely do see this film as an expression of that. You have a movie here, as fantastical a plot as it is, and it is a fantastical plot, there's no question about it, the taking over of a planet of an ape, and that is a fantasy. But what it does point out and what it does bring to the fore, I think, is something traumatic. I just saw in the newspaper today, I'm sure you did too, and the man that I spoke with who put me on the hold button before I went on, Mr. Dickman and I were talking about the lady, that poor girl.
Yes, Carla, I think Carla Nash.
What was the name?
Carla Nash in Connecticut. She was attacked by that chimpanzee.
Attacked by this wild animal that was a friend, that was a friend of a friend, I guess is how they described it.
And no, it was the pet of some woman.
That's it. And yes, sir, that's it, right.
It was the pet of a friend of hers. A very unusual pet, I must say.
You said a mouthful there, unusual. This woman that lived with this monkey or this chimpanzee, as if this was a friend of hers. I think she called it her son.
Yes, there was quite very strange and very weird. And then eventually, of course, the animal turned and attacked this Ms. Nash, who was helping at some point.
Well, the other woman called for help, and this lady came to try to help and subdue this creature, and it attacked her and mauled her, viciously mauled her. And I saw this poor girl. And, of course,
well, she has the new face now.
Yes, she does, thanks to the wonderful work of these doctors.
Yes, she's got, if you really should, folks, and I would countenance you that those of you who are a little weak in the stomach, don't look at it.
No, the before photo is terrible. The before photo is ghastly.
Yes, but the after photo with her brand new, beautifully done surgery, and she's going to be okay. She lost her vision, as you know.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it's a story with a little bit of a happy ending. But, you know, I tell you, I agree with you 100%. That was just the most outrageous situation.
Well, Hollywood jumps on it, and they make this film.
And well, but here's where I would ask you the question. How do you see Hollywood jumping all over these chimpanzee attacks with the Planet of the Apes?
Because the film is ill-timed, Phil. The film is ill-timed. We've had a number of these attacks. We've seen the gruesome results, the scarring, the disfigurement, the ruined lives, because someone decided that they were going to make a son or a nephew or a third cousin out of a chimpanzee. It lives with them, eats with them, sits at a table. And the degradation of a human being sitting at the same table with a chimpanzee to eat from the same plate, it does not get any lower. Now, I wrote letters to Fox as well as to the Sony Corporation because I didn't know who made the movie. I just wrote letters to every Hollywood studio. And
you wrote letters to every Hollywood studio? Why?
Because I don't know who made it. I just wrote letters to everyone. If you made Rise of a Planet of an Ape, then, you know, and I realize it's probably a little silly.
Well, 20th Century Fox made it.
Well, it's too late now. I wrote all the letters, but I don't care. I want them all to know how I feel, you know.
So you wrote letters to every studio in case they made it?
Well, yeah, but also to tell them, even if you didn't make this film, it is my feeling that making films about apes and monkeys and chimpanzees in the middle of a news cycle or a culture where we're aware that these things are cute and cuddly and they are not our friends, they're wild beasts. And it's one more movie that gives us another way to drag the greatest country in the world through the dirt.
I understand, sir.
And I'll tell you, Phil, it chokes me up. And I'm not one to get choked up by too much.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the film franchise, because that's what we're talking about here, Tim. The film franchise...
By my understanding, they've done a lot of them, haven't they?
Yes, they have, sir. And, I, you know, as a young boy, I saw the first one back, I think it was 68, the Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, and the franchise continued. And
oh, yeah, they had Under the Planet of the Apes and Over the Planet of the Apes and every ridiculous title. And now this Rise of a Planet of an Ape. And
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Hold on.
He did Rise of a Planet on an Ape.
No, he didn't say Rise of a Planet on an Ape. He said Rise of a Planet of an Ape. Now, that's wrong. And you know something, Bud? I don't want to have to keep correcting guests. Before they go on the air, you ought to tell them that. You know?
Yeah, he was sitting there talking every day on 11. The guy never said one thing.
I was good, but then Phil said to put him on.
No, you didn't. You were going to talk about him?
Oh, it doesn't make any difference, okay? I'm just saying. In the future, tell him.
Roger.
Roger. All right, we're going to be back with Tim Steelworth on the Rise of a Planet of an Ape. I mean, Rise of the Planet of the Ape. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. In a moment, as he finds these films to be tasteless. Tasteless because we've had these chimpanzee attacks. Tasteless because we've seen just enough movies now about how to bring America down. We don't need any more. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Is that's a violent threat that can be taken very seriously by the police. You don't want to do that. You're a much better man than that.
Well, I'm telling you, what set me off, Phil, was seeing this Warren Jeffs on television here. Just a few seconds ago when you and I were talking, his head shaved, a half-effeminate smile on his face, as if he's getting ready to step into a bubble bath that I'm already sitting in. Now, imagine what that means to you or to any man that's listening. And I'm not saying anything against gay men. You know that we're allowing gays into the military. I'm all in favor of it. America should be America.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you this much. If I saw Warren Jeffs walk up to a tub that I was sitting in, that I had put my own bubble bath in, and he smiled, kicked off sandals, and then stepped in, that the water would be red with the blood that would flow.
All right, I get how you don't like Warren Jeffs. I understand that, but we have to stick to the topic.
My apologies, Phil, but I just, as you know...
I know you saw his kisser on TV. I'm going to have to see this picture. It must have looked...
God, you know how ugly he is to begin with. Imagine him with his head shaved and smiling at you as if he's about to say, "Do you mind if I share your bubble bath with you?"
Well, the idea of you, would you ever, well, I shouldn't ask, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem. Go ahead, ask.
So you sit in a bubble bath?
You better believe it, my friend. You better, after everything that I've seen in my life, after what I've been through in my life, and after the things I've seen and the horrors that I have experienced, a bubble bath is a pretty nice relaxation. Somebody doesn't like it? Well, I can kiss my you-know-what.
Okay, that's fine, and I I accept that. Let's get back, if we could.
No, I want to get back, but just with that guy looking at me and smiling as if to say, is this your shower cap? I got to tell you, Phil.
Yes, sir, I understand, but I need to get back to the rise of the planet
of an ape.
Of the apes.
Of the apes, yes, sir. All right, well, my point was this. You can, and on the Discovery Channel last night, Margie, she taped a segment that they had played on the Old World Monkeys, and the segment was to promote, obviously, our renewed interest in primate life because of these ape movies. They had a segment that was entirely silent except for the sound of these monkeys. And it was a segment that went 5 minutes, Bill, so you can well imagine a monkey, no human talking, and all you hear are monkey noise. There's the noise of a monk, of a monkey. When they came back, they said, that was an interesting statement, but let's get the other side of it, and then they interviewed a human. So what they did was allowed a monkey, a wild monkey, one of these things that has so devastated the human condition, one of these things that looks cute but can tear your face off faster than you can open up a one of those Reese's peanut butter cups. So I said, my wife, she puts those down, don't you, honey? She puts the Reese's Pieces cups away like lickety-split, if you'll pardon the expression.
And all right, I got to interrupt you here because I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. You're saying that they had a monkey.
They had a monkey going on and on and on about something I didn't know, and I didn't think you had to know. I didn't think it was talking. But when they came back from the monkey going on and boring probably even monkeys to tears, the guy said, thank you very much for that perspective, but there is another side to it, if you don't mind. And they went over to a human. And we recorded it if you want to hear it.
You recorded the monkey?
Yes, sir.
All right, when we get back...
Do you want to hear it now?
Not now. I got to go to a break, okay? Tim Steelworth is with us talking about Rise of the Planet of the Apes and how this is a horrible, horrible film and how the ape has been nothing but a devastation to humans. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, I want to bring on also along with Tim Steelworth, joining us from San Diego's Warren Benman. And Mr. Benman is in Tupelo, Mississippi, at a primate center there. And Dr. Benman is going to talk with us about some of the things you're discussing here, Tim, especially the idea that the Discovery Channel had a show on about chimpanzees alleging that they're making statements. Warren, are you there?
I'm doing it right here.
Okay, Warren, tell me what is your experience with this kind of thing?
Well, I don't think man's going to say. I'm a little bit nervous to be on your program, but I'm very, very appreciative.
You're doing fine.
I don't think young man said you want to get a drink of water or something, Phil. I think maybe that's what he needs.
You okay, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. I can't drink. I've never been on radio that much, on a TV show too. A chimpanzee, you're talking to another chimpanzee. But I don't know that they can talk to you. However, I'm familiar with the Discovery Channel that they had on the program, the Discovery Channel. I mean, the young man, if I could interrupt, Phil.
Go ahead.
The Discovery Channel was on television. It was on television, I'm sorry. And they had a monkey? Yes, sir, they had a monkey that was making a statement. The monkey was making a statement. Ben Lucky was me, yep. Though I've seen him try to do that, and I don't know if you can do that.
All right, why don't we do this? Let's listen to... The monkey was making a statement.
Yes, sir, that was exactly, Phil. And by the way, Phil, I don't mean to get distracted again, but when CNN shows a fat drunk doing that kind of dance where they wiggle the fat, and they do it so that people will have a good time looking at what a freak of nature they are, they're doing it right now. It's on the Anderson Cooper show. And I don't mind a homosexual anchoring TV news, but I'm very disturbed by a homosexual putting on what he thinks is funny, men doing dances like they have a spastic lesion.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You talking about Anderson Cooper?
Yes, I am, sir. I'm talking about Anderson Cooper, and I'm very irritated by what he thinks is funny. I don't mind Anderson Cooper feeding Somalian children. I do mind Anderson Cooper pulling stuff off of YouTube and filling up 10 minutes of time.
Okay, are we done with this? Because we got to get moving, all right?
Well, sir, that's fine.
Your whole problem with Anderson Cooper, notwithstanding, we have to get moving.
I didn't understand what he just said, Bill.
But it's fine. Let's just go ahead now. Here is from the Discovery Channel, and you go ahead and introduce it, Tim.
Yes, this is the segment from Discovery Channel that shows the... this is the statement made by the ape. Uh-huh.
Kimbo's point is very well made, but we brought his question to Dr. Hanson.
Right, did you hear that, Bill? There's just a tail end there.
What was that? Was that a doctor there?
No, that was the announcer, and the monkey's name is Makenda or Matendo, and he said that while his point was well made, they were going to bring the question to another doctor, and I was shocked because I didn't know what the monkey was saying. And
but all right, Warren, this was on TV?
Yes, it was on TV.
Warren?
Well, you know, there was a little bit there, and I know you understood too, Mr. Dilworth, what the monkey's saying. Just trying to get... Don't blame me, I ain't a chimpanzee.
Well, that's true. I did hear that part. And
what do you mean you heard that part? Play that again.
Well, Bill, it's very involved. He gives some statistics here.
Play it again.
All right, here it is again. Stop out here. Oh, that's very good. He does.
Kendo's point was very well made. But we presented...
All right, you heard that?
Are you telling me you understand what that ape's saying?
Well, he's saying that he's an orangutan, he's not a chimpanzee.
That's the point, Bill. He's not it.
All right, I'm going to let you go, Dr. Benman.
Why?
Because you sound like you're going to either kill someone or collapse, okay?
You do sound like you need to lay down. Okay, good day.
Just thank you very much. What?
I'm talking to him right now. Yeah, Dr. Benman? Yeah, hi. This is Bud Dickman, yeah. No, Phil really liked it and everything, but we gotta lay down. Yeah, you better go lay down. Yeah, you better go lay down. On a bed. On a bed. Go lay down on a bed. You can lay on a bed. There's no bed. A bed. You know what a bed is? With a pillow?
And what are you doing, man?
I'm trying to tell him to lay down.
Do it in the other room. God!
He's just trying to tell him to lay down.
Yeah, I know he's trying to tell him to lay down. How many different ways you want to say it? There's something wrong with that guest. There's something wrong with Bud. And there's something wrong with you, Robert. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm trying to do my job.
Uh-huh. All right, Tim, so you say that on that piece of tape...
Yeah, on that piece of tape, there was the very unmistakable statement being made by that orangutan that he was tired of being confused. Now, Phil, in the movie Rise of a Planet of the Apes, there's no question that it shows the degrading of the human condition in favor of the elevation of some kind of a primate form of life. And this is right in the middle of these horrible attacks that these chimpanzees were making, running amok, doing what they wanted, taking people's faces and throwing them in the air, and I don't know what they did. But then we have, to get back to the original point that I made.
You were saying something about your neighborhood.
Yes. In my neighborhood, it's very tightly knit. Everyone's very close to each other. We look out for each other. We have barbecues together. We look out for each other's kids. We go down the street very carefully. We're very mindful that some of the other kids may be playing. We look out for the other children. We make sure that we always have our neighborhood watch going so we can see who's coming into the neighborhood that's strange. And we will sometimes knock on the door of a neighbor. Are you okay? Because we haven't heard anything from you, and we haven't seen you, and we'll go in and wait for them when they come home. And
okay, I get it. So you've got a very tight-knit neighborhood.
Yes, sir. All right. So, enough said. So, to the point that I'm trying to make.
And which is what?
Which is the following thing, Mr. Henry, if you want to be impatient, here it is. On October 3rd of last year, and I don't know exactly how this took place, but a chimpanzee was spotted, not in the company of a human being or a trainer, but simply walking down Taylor Way, which is the cul-de-sac away from my home, walking. Now, the animal was not dressed because it's an animal, but it was carrying in its left hand or paw a diaper. And the theory goes that the animal had gotten disgusted with the diaper it was having to wear for the amusement of humans, so decided that it would either peel off the face of the human it was living with or just outright kill it, take its diaper off, and leave.
And take its diaper off and leave the house that it was in.
The house that it was in. And where that house was, I can't tell you. I don't think it was our neighborhood, because like I say, we know everyone here. We know everything that everyone does. And if someone was housing or was shepherding or sheltering an ape in a diaper, there would sure to have been some conversation or some passing of information.
Where did this monkey go?
I do not know. I do not know. So, that...
So, in other words, somebody, you who saw this?
A number of people report seeing it.
A chimpanzee.
One of the big ones. That big thing that attacked the lady in Connecticut. One of those big, big, ugly ones. Not the cute one, but that big, ugly, frightening-looking thing that you just assume kill with a baseball bat. You know, there's some monkeys you don't want to touch. There's some monkeys you wouldn't go near. They're cute, but this thing, this big ape, I would have beaten it to death and have had no compunction.
So this is the ape that you saw walking down Taylor Place holding a diaper in its left hand?
Yes, sir.
And you're theorizing that it was holding the diaper in its left hand because it was disgusted?
It was wearing the diaper, and once it dispatched the human being that it forced it into this diaper wearing, it pulled the diaper off, as I imagine any of us would, probably with disgust, and left.
Carrying the diaper with him?
Yes, absent-mindedly, yes, sir.
And no one has seen this monkey?
No one has seen it, but it left an indelible impression upon all of us, given the recent events, and now with this movie coming out, we passed the petition. And the petition very clearly states we won't support Rise of the Planet of an Ape, and we won't support anyone who does support it. And if we see that monkey again, that monkey better say its prayers. And I can, that is a promise from me to you, from my lips to God's ears.
And well, how do you put that into a petition?
Well, if I can tell you what it was, Phil, is it just a general statement.
And a general statement that you are anti-chimpanzee is what I'm getting here. And that you're anti...
Well, no, sir, no.
You know, wait a minute. You're anti-chimpanzee, you're anti-chimpanzee movie. And, of course, and I agree with you here. I agree that there is, there seem to be themes and there seem to be statements being made by screenwriters and filmmakers that there are, as you say, a multitude of ways to weaken and otherwise destroy America, or that America will weaken and destroy itself. Beyond that, I can't vouch for anything you've said. I'm not saying that you're crazy.
Well, what have I said that has been so crazy?
Well, when you say that you saw a monkey walking down the street carrying its diaper, and you're not sure, but you're pretty sure it dispatched the human being that it was living with, but you don't know the name of that human being or where that house is.
I'm just saying I'm pretty sure it's not in this neighborhood because we know everybody's business here in a good way.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think it's very likely that a chimpanzee, especially one as large as you described, will be able to walk several blocks without being spotted.
Well, there's not that many police patrols in this area of the city because this is a quiet area. We don't have a high crime rate. Yes, we do see the San Diego County Sheriff, and sometimes we'll see La Mesa Police or one of the police agencies. Okay?
And so a monkey, an ape, could walk three blocks, four blocks...
without being spotted, yes, sir.
And then where does it disappear into?
Well, there's a barranca. There's a series of barrancas behind the cul-de-sac here, the last home, and then you hit barranca and ravine area. So it's very, very possible that the animal disappeared up into the chaparral there, where there is a barranca, then a ravine, then a butte, and then a...
Okay, fine. So then a chaparral at...
Well, I didn't... A chaparral, a butte, a barranca, a ravine...
A canyon?
There's a canyon, too. There's every topographical feature that a chimpanzee could get its bearings in to sit down and just figure out, okay, what's my next move?
And okay, all right. So, Tim, thanks very much. And
by the way, Phil, I don't have flashbacks or anything like this, so you can be sure. You can call me back, and I will tell you straight up. But here's this Warren Jeffs again. And if I ever see that picture of him looking like he's stepping out of those slippers...
I know, getting into your bubble bath, you'll beat him up.
You got it.
Tim Steelworth with us. Well, I don't think any of that is going to keep people away from Rise of the Planet of the... I don't know why he couldn't get that right.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Right, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And did you get Dr. Benman squared away?
Yeah, he's down in Tupelo, Mississippi at a primate house.
I know that. Did you get him all squared away?
Yeah, I told him it was all good. I said, it's all good. You know.
What are you talking about like that for?
Because he's black.
He is?
Yeah. But he's all nervous. He's nervous. Well, think about it. He's a black guy working in a primate house in Tupelo.
Will you shut up and get out of here? Think about it. Thank you, Dr. Benman, for being with us. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A number of things still ahead here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. One of them is Ted Bell talking about a new football stadium here in the city of Los Angeles and just exactly what's that going to mean to him and to the rest of us all around the country. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Jeff Dowder joining us from Manhattan Beach. Jeff, is that where you are? Hey, Jeff?
Yeah, Phil.
How you doing?
I'm doing very good. And I just want everybody to know the charity auction at Mr. Pooh's going on till 11 o'clock. We got about another 10 minutes on Mr. Pooh.
And now, what is Mr. Pooh's?
Mr. Pooh's a nightclub in Manhattan Beach where Dark Horse is going to be playing. We're going to be here through the weekend, Sunday night. We got three great bands, Mr. Pooh and Led Zeppelin.
What's the band? Led what?
Led Zeppelin is kind of a teen. It's sort of a teen tribute band. It's kind of a go-go thing meets Led Zeppelin. And
that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and so we want everyone to know that the auction's going to be going on. The other thing, of course, that I want everyone to know about is the flower show to benefit the
muscular dystrophy?
Yeah, but it was muscular sclerosis or something, I don't know.
Muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis?
It's one of them. I'm sorry, Phil, I'm going to have to get Daisy Cuttershaw to call you, because
That's okay.
But that's the flower show, and Toby Bo was there today. You know, he told me to tell you, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And I don't know, I don't want to say anything bad, but he said that he said it was really beautiful. He took a hit of acid, and he took his camera.
And you know, that is very irresponsible. Yeah, you're right, it is.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't need to hear about your friends dropping acid, okay? You understand?
I'm sorry, sir.
So you know, because to me, that just puts a whole, that just stinks up the whole charity.
Well, I mean, it wasn't, he just said that the flowers were really beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they were really beautiful after he takes a hit of acid, but I don't need to hear about that, and I think that it fouls up the charity.
Well, he got pictures, and he wanted me to tell you he has pictures, and if you wanted to see how beautiful they was, to put it on a website and everything.
We'd be happy to do that, you know, and tell people about the charity, but I don't want to have anybody, I don't want him talking about his acid trip.
Well, but I mean, you gotta, okay, I mean.
I mean, I gotta what? I mean, I'm sorry, Jeff, you know.
No, I understand that, but they were really beautiful, I mean, and you wouldn't have such beautiful pictures as he had not taken no acid.
What does that mean? I don't understand what that's supposed to mean.
I mean, I just told you. He said he took a hit of acid, and it was beautiful.
The flowers aren't more beautiful because he took the acid. You understand?
What?
What are you talking about, man? The flowers aren't more beautiful because he hit the acid. The flowers are beautiful.
I know they're beautiful.
They didn't get more beautiful because your friend Toby Bowe took a hit of acid. They were beautiful anyway.
Well, then how come they were more beautiful?
Because that was the acid talking, man. I can't put those pictures on my website and say, wow, look at how much more beautiful these flowers got because Toby Bowe dropped acid.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying? This can't be that hard.
No, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so go back to him and tell him that Phil says thank you. I'd love to see the pictures of the flowers. I'd love to know how the charity, you guys are very sweet to be involved in that. But that him telling everybody that he dropped acid and that's why the flowers are more beautiful makes me think he belongs maybe, you know, a 72-hour observation.
Oh, now come on, man. You can't be talking like that because that is hardcore. And
I'm not saying to do it, but I can't imagine being that stupid.
Well, I mean, now that you explained it the way you explained it, I mean, I wasn't sure.
You weren't sure, huh? So you're telling me that if I'd taken these pictures and put them on my website, and look at how beautiful these are, and you know why they're beautiful? Because Toby Bowe took acid, and that made them look more beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm telling you, man, you got to watch who you're hanging out with, okay?
Hey, look, this guy's a lifelong friend of mine.
No, I know he's a lifelong friend of yours, but you know something? You're going to be in a car with this guy one night, and he may think that the road is wider because he took the acid, so the road widened out, and he may try to take a wide turn, and the next thing you know, you're going off a cliff.
What does that mean?
Yeah, okay. Jeff, good luck, man. Seriously.
No, seriously, what does it mean? Because you did.
Good luck to him.
Well, you don't understand.
Oh, don't tell me you're that stupid, okay?
Don't you understand, man? Because the guy take acid, it doesn't mean it changes the world. It changes your head.
Yeah, I know that. Well, is that what you're yelling about?
That's what I'm yelling about. That's what I'm yelling about. He wanted me to take the pictures from the flower show, put them on my website because they're so beautiful. I go, well, that's really great. He goes, and I said, but I don't really want to know about Toby Bowe dropping acid. He said, well, that's why the pictures are beautiful, because he took the acid.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to have you taken in for a CAT scan, swear to God.
Yeah. What about him get a CAT scan?
All of you guys. Me too, as a matter of fact. I think I'm going to have myself looked at for hiring you. In the first place, boy, Phil, the flowers were so beautiful after he took the acid. We're going to be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we're going to talk about public financing of these ballparks, folks. This needs to be talked about. If we're in a serious money crunch, if the American people are suffering, then let's get with it and let's start talking serious about some of this stuff. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil,
be right back.
Henry.
Say that again, man.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be with you. And Ted Bell is going to be with us. Bud, do you have him on the line?
Yeah, to Mr. Bell's, but he said don't go to him yet because he's got to figure out some receipts and stuff.
Yeah, okay, I understand. We won't go to him yet. He's figuring out some receipts. I understand that he's...
Did a lot of phone calls, and people want to know what's behind you on a Phil TV.
That is a beautiful desertscape from Santa Susana Historic Park, the Santa Susana Pass.
No, you said Santa Susana Pass Historic Park.
Right, and that's a beautiful scene from that. Here, as a matter of fact, I'll give you a much better look at it. And as you can see, it just goes on forever and ever more. Now, a lot of Westerns were filmed in that gorgeous topography that I'm looking at. And you guys are too young, but they used to film Westerns out there. And that's where Spahn Ranch is.
That's where they killed a guy.
No, that ain't where they killed a guy. Look, you know, I'm even sorry that I brought up Spahn Ranch to you guys because you get it wrong every time. They didn't kill a guy there. The people that killed people live there. Anyway, that's what that is. All right, so our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Now, there's really only one way to fully enjoy the world-class history-making radio of the Phil Henry Show, and that is if you go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. You have access to our archives there. You have access to the superb quality archives. You have access to the first-generation quality audio archives of our show and not some garbage that was tape-recorded off of a radio. You also have access to a 5-day archive of our video cast. You also have access to the daily podcast, which is essentially our radio show, minus all of the commercials and things like that. And we have our classic Phil podcast, which is a podcast from our archive, something that a classic piece of material that we make available to you. Our merchandise shop has our coffee mug, our shot glasses, our T-shirts, our legacy best of CDs. These are collector's items. Once they're gone, they are gone. These are the original best of CDs that we released, with the artwork all in the cellophane packaging. They haven't been touched, with the exception of two of them, the 2000 and, what is it, Bud, 2001?
Well,
which is it, man? Is it 2001?
Come on, man, spit it out.
It's, yeah, no, yeah.
What is, yeah, no, yeah, 2000, never mind, 2000 and 2001 are autographed by me.
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
No, yeah.
I couldn't remember.
No kidding, man. I gathered that. Anyway, philhenryshow.com. Check it out and join us over there, okay? What the hell is that? Is that that auction that's still going on?
Yeah, let the line open, man. It was a Jeff Data auction that's still going on in Manhattan Beach. And Jeff said it's going to go. They stretched it out to 11:30. And you can come over and get, I don't know, they got some signed guitar and everything like that.
What kind of stuff have they got?
I don't know. They got a guitar that signed. Jeff signed one.
No, he get a, who cares?
Yeah, who cares about that?
Well, that's what they're auctioning off right now.
I bet you people actually would get a Jeff Dowder autographed guitar. All right, time now for
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills here in Beverly Hills. I was going to say Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, where's that located? Now, we're at Beverly Hills, and we've got the greatest all-day roasted pork loin. Prime rib.
Well, I think we've lost Ted because that, once again, you have the auction line up.
Just the IMDb line.
IMDb line? You mean the equalized line that we have?
Yeah.
Well, you better get the right lineup because Mr. Bell is going to get really angry and he's going to ask us to play the commercial again because we've got the wrong. Where is he, man? Ted, is that you?
I was talking, and I had them turn a radio on. I didn't hear anything.
I apologize. We had an auction that was going on in another part of the city. And
well, that's fine, but I pay for a certain amount of time, and it doesn't matter.
Okay, I apologize, though, Ted. I really do. We had a technical mix-up there. Okay, anyway, Ted Bell is with us, and we are here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted, you wanted to talk about the building of this farmer's field, and I have the story here. This is from the LA Times, and again, folks, those of you listening around the country, it doesn't matter what city we're talking about. We have seen these stadiums going up, and we've seen a lot of different ways for them to be paid for, and we've... You know, it's just very interesting to me how we make excuse after excuse after excuse for the building of these ballparks. We like to imagine that there's no public money being used. Well, okay. We like to imagine that the public money that is used is worth it. Well, okay. And in other words, there's quite a bit of rationalization that goes on. But the story says the following thing. Now that the city council has approved a general framework for Farmers Field, the proposed NFL stadium in downtown L.A., the next challenge is finding a team. Farmers Field developer AEG can now step up efforts to pursue a team from another city, a linchpin of the development agreement. It's big for the leaders there to make the commitment they have, said Dallas Cowboy Jerry Owner. What did I say?
What are you must have a brain tumor. Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I said Dallas owner Jerry Cowboy.
Something like that.
Wow. Said Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, who serves on the NFL Stadium Review Committee.
Can I jump in for just a second?
Go ahead.
Phil, look, you know, you're doing a good job. It seems like this hour has gotten off to a very bad start. With that latest mistake that you made, it almost sounds, and I know that that's probably not the case, but it almost sounds as if you have something malignant growing in your brain. You messed up the beginning, so I come on, you know, not on the hot on the heels of my commercial. I come on sounding like I'm a second thought that someone had. So I don't know.
You don't know what?
I just don't feel like it. Yeah.
Ted, look.
I mean, for you to come on, Jerry Owner Dallas, Jerry Cowboy Dallas Owner, I was worried when I heard that. I really was. And then when you put me on, oh, sorry, we had an auction going at a bar in Manhattan Beach where a guy who I never heard of is auctioning off one of his guitars, and then I come on because, oh, yeah, we've got Ted.
No, I did not say, oh, yeah, we've got Ted. I said, where is Ted? And we had the lines crossed. It happens, okay? We often have a line crossed where we're going from one place to another. It's entirely my fault. I apologize.
How do you explain Dallas owner Jerry Cowboy? What is that about?
Yeah, what's that about?
You're not asking the questions. You understand?
What?
You're not asking the questions. Mr. Bell is asking the questions.
What's it about?
And neither are you asking the questions.
What's it about?
It's about the fact that my brain, as they say, farted. You know, it just was a brain blip.
You don't have any oxygen deprivation from that cough you had, do you?
No, I don't have oxygen deprivation.
Because it sounds like something that a guy would have if he had a problem. But if you don't...
I don't have a problem. Can we move on with this?
All right.
Well, I mean, if your heart's not in it...
No, I'm fine.
The league has no intention of expanding beyond the current 32 teams, so AEG chairman Philip Anschutz must reach a deal with an existing team owner to relocate to L.A. The relocation would have to be approved by a 3/4 vote of the league's 32 owners. Now, this is a very interesting thing because, you know, it would have to be approved by a three-quarters vote. Their arguments have been made that a guy who owns a business can move his business wherever the hell he wants to move it. And you don't have to get approval from anybody. Many of you do not remember, because you're too young, the contretemps that went on around the Oakland Raiders moving here. The Oakland Raiders moved to Los Angeles for the 1982 season, I think, 81 or 82. And it was a huge fight. It was an enormous fight by the NFL owners and Al Davis, whether they could move to Los Angeles. The Rams were here, but the Rams had moved down to Anaheim, so the Coliseum was empty. And Al Davis wanted to move the Raiders to the L.A. Coliseum. Well, he did anyway. And he was in this big public fight with Pete Rozelle, who was the commissioner. I don't really know how it was that he got to move to L.A., but as it turned out, Al Davis couldn't make any money down here. And his team went back to Oakland. And in going back to Oakland, they had lost a great deal of goodwill here in the city of L.A. The people... didn't particularly like the taste of Al Davis being in this city. And, you know, there were some hardcore fans, but I always felt that the Raiders were an opportunistic organization and were taking advantage of L.A. They pocketed $10 million.
Are you going to be done soon?
What did you do?
I hung up on him is what I did. I hung up on him for a change. That's what I did.
You know, he's sponsoring his hour, man. You know, Mr. Hall's going to call in.
Let him call in. We'll be right back, folks. Our number, 877-8... Yeah, that's right. I hung up on Ted Bell. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. And I'm going to continue my story of how the, of how all of this came about here in the city of Los Angeles with pro football. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Wait, did you just hang up on me?
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Ted Bell from, well, we were talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I did hang the phone up on him. David G. Hall?
Yeah, did I call him up?
No, I know you called him up. Yeah, David.
Well, look, let me tell you what happened. I'm over at Joe Buckham's house here. He says, do you want to bust out the crooked branch? I said, let's go for it. I don't know whether or not I had too much to drink or what it was, but he says to me that Dickman's on the phone, so I picked the phone up, and I thought I was going to laugh my ass off. He said to me, and I probably was had too much to drink, I was hearing things, he said that you hung up on Ted Bell.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. Tell me the truth.
I hung up on him.
You hung up on Ted Bell.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And
why would you cut my throat from ear to ear?
Hold on for a minute now. Hold on.
Why would you take money out of my... Why would you take food off of my table? Why would you put your hands in my...
Hold on for a minute or I'm going to hang up on you. I'm going to hang up on you too. Okay?
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, you want to... Don't you push me, man.
You know, the word's out on you, Phil. The word's out all over this business. You're a hard ass, and you don't like management, and you hard ass everybody. The word's out.
You know, the word may be out, but you want to know something? I don't take any crap anymore from anybody. I don't give a damn if the guy's Ted Bell or not. I was explaining something to my audience, and he came on with a smart ass. You want to get to it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, here's how it went. First of all,
you shut up. I'll do it. I was talking on the air about giving some background on the football situation in Los Angeles.
What do you mean football situation?
I mean the stadium being built. I mean this guy, Philip Anschutz. I mean the AEG group. I mean Farmers Field. And I was giving background about the Raiders. And it was a little bit involved, but I thought interesting. And all of a sudden he comes on and he says, are you going to be done soon? So I hung up on the rude son of a you-know-what.
Do you understand how much money that guy represents to this show?
I don't give a damn how much money he represents. There comes a point where even if the guy represents a lot of money, he's screwing up the show. Now, there's a certain thing that I want to do on this radio show, irregardless of who the sponsor is. Now, they can come on board for it, or they can take a hike.
I told you the word's out on you. You got that part, right?
The word's out on me. So what? So what?
Because a lot of people think you're a hard ass.
And a lot of people like me. And a lot of people like the work I do. And a lot of people like the radio show that I do. And a lot of people are willing to commit and bust their ass for the show.
Are you saying I don't bust my ass? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what you ought to do is back me up and not just back up some guy because he happens to fill your pocket full of money.
So now we get to it. You finally got to it. Now you're saying it. Now you're saying that my loyalty is something that can be bought.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm saying.
I want you to know something. That hurts.
Look, David.
No. I'm serious. That really hurts. That hurts me right here. It gets me right here. I'm pointing to where it gets me. Do you want to know where I'm pointing?
Goodbye, David.
Come on, I was only kidding.
877-876-PHIL. If Mr. Bell wants to come back on, we can talk to him.
He said he's only going to come back on account of if you play the jingle and then introduce him all over again.
On account of if I play the jingle.
Yeah, and you got to introduce him all over again.
Go ahead and play the jingle and introduce him all over again. God.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Hold on. Is there anybody there? Hey, turn the music off for a minute. Yeah. Phil, thank you, but I heard you go, God.
So you don't even want...
No, I don't want any editorial comment. Thank you very much.
All right. I guess we got to do it again, so... go ahead and play it again, bud.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You know what? Kill the music for a minute. Kill the music for a minute. You know what? I don't like that at all either.
And why?
Because it was sloppy. Okay, go ahead, bud. I want to hear it so like you're doing it. You know, like, hey, this is Phil Hendry, and now it's time for Ted Bell. I want to hear it like it's being, like you care. No. Wait. Don't go, professionally.
Yes, Mr. Bell, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and here we go, back on the Phil Hendry Show with another Ted Bell segment.
Didn't I just hear you call me an ass?
Well, either you want me to play the jingle or not, I'm not going to do it one more time, okay?
I'm sorry. Yes, okay. All right, wait. Just let me, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I'm just, I thought I heard you say A-S. Well, never mind.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, man.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills, the best prime rib, the best pork loin, the best baseball steak, the best New York, and our bone-in New York sirloin. Oh, yeah.
Here at Ted's.
Every night.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right. Now I'm feeling better.
All right. I'm glad you are. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right. So... I just wanted to wrap up the one thing about the Raiders. The Raiders, it was proposed by the city of Irwindale, and again, we go back to 1987, while the Raiders were still here, that the city of Irwindale, California, was going to build a stadium, and they gave the Raiders $10 million as a deposit for them to move to Irwindale.
Yeah, I know, and the Raiders took the money and went back to Oakland.
That's exactly what they did. So the Raiders don't have a very good history here. So football in this city has been replete with usurious owners and people that aren't getting enough money and decide to split, and people that nobody wants to put anything of their own. The Raiders were as cheap as the day is long. Georgia Frontier and the L.A. Rams were the worst. I mean, you think a team that had been here for 40-plus 50 years, like the L.A. Rams had been, would have kicked in a majority of the money would have been theirs, but no. They go to St. Louis. They rob St. Louis blind. I hope it was worth it to you people in St. Louis. Raiders go back to Oakland where they're not getting full houses, where the glory days of the 70s are way, way behind them, man. That whole silver and black is badass. Don't make me laugh. Okay? Don't make me laugh. So that's what is that's the smell left here in the city of Los Angeles.
Was a very nice, you know, and I'm sorry if I said what I said, Phil, but you've left me with no time, you know.
Well, maybe if it wasn't, if you didn't take so much time, me having to play the jingle all over again and having to apologize.
All right, I'm sorry. Look at me, I'm the sponsor, I'm giving you money, and I'm apologizing to you.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, that's a first. Anyway, let me tell you what it means to me. I don't care what football team plays in the city of Los Angeles. I don't care if they play the football games at Farmers... Is that what it is? Farmer Field?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
No, that's Farmers Insurance.
I know it's Farmers Insurance, but why is it Farmer Field? So I can imagine that we're going out to a field? Is that it?
I think that Farmer Field, yeah, probably.
Well, I don't want to close my eyes and think that I'm going to go out and sit in the end zone on my ass on the gray. You know, I don't want to do that.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break.
Oh, come on, will you?
We got to take a break. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And next hour, a segment with Art Bell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I just got warmed up.
Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills is brought to you, this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly. You know what? Never mind. I was going to. Can we go back? We can't go back.
Here it's brought to you by Ted's. We want to put our in your mouth.
What's the problem?
Well, I mean, I messed up that time, but I wanted to go back anyway.
You know, we've been going back, and it is a feature of live radio, Ted, that things sometimes don't go right, and we just have to keep pushing on. I mean, we've come on this program tonight to talk about something specific, and we have it's a half hour, you know, and we haven't gotten in.
There was some housekeeping to take care of. First of all, you said to me, or you hung up on me, and that's a first. That's got to be a first.
I'm sorry that I found it necessary to do it.
And you don't want to say you're sorry.
I just said I'm sorry I found it necessary to do it.
That's not an apology. That's you saying that you're sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Why don't I believe you?
Ted, if you want to hear me hang up on you again.
So it's coming down to that, huh? Eyeball to eyeball, and we're in front of the whole world, and you're challenging me as sponsor in the middle of a recession. Okay. Okay, fine.
So can we go?
Yeah, you know, I really resent the fact that you've got this guy dancing.
I don't have anybody dancing.
Well, it's on CNN. Didn't you call Anderson Cooper and have this put on?
No, I didn't. Let's just...
All right, anyway, so we're going to talk about football, is that right?
Yes, we're talking about the L.A. Coliseum, not the L.A. Coliseum, the, you know, you're right, I got to get this Anderson Cooper.
I'm telling you, that guy is a disaster.
He's got a lot of women watching him. A lot of women like him.
Well, the stuff he puts on his show is the most irritating crap.
Yeah, no, you're right. Here it is again. I guess he thinks it's funny. All right. What I'm saying is this, that the football stadium downtown is going to be there regardless of whether there's public or private money. And I believe that there will be private money used, but I also think there will be public money used. And that's the part that I think is, you know, that people are not hearing.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't care what kind of money they use. It doesn't make any difference to me. If they use all private money, I guess that'll be better because that keeps the public at bay. It means that the newspapers and so on, they're not complaining. I don't care if they use public money and the public likes it. I don't care if they use public money and the public doesn't like it. And, Phil, I'll go even further, and I think I speak on behalf of business people all through this city. I don't care whether they build a football stadium or not. It doesn't make any difference to me. But, and here is where it gets into, hold on, I'm on the phone right now. I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm doing a radio show. Put them anywhere you want to put them. I don't care. I don't talk to them anymore. We got the Coopers coming in here, and I don't give a damn about them anymore.
That guy was a friend of yours.
Maybe, not anymore, he isn't. Not anymore, he isn't. Not since the night I saw his Jaguar pulling away from the back of my house. And my wife is, oh, you're home early? Oh, I thought you were going to San Francisco. Yeah, huh?
Wait a minute, man. Are you telling me that this guy and your wife...
That's what I suspect.
And you're still living at home, huh?
I'm not moving. Whoa. What do you think this is? Hey, I'm going to move? No, I don't move. I stay, and I stay with my son. She can move.
I had no idea, Ted.
No, it's fine. We're doing fine. I love my wife. She loves me. We have a great marriage. But just, you know, I'm not stupid, that's all. I know what's going on. And I think she thinks I'm dumb. And Cooper, here he is with his wife. And
I don't want to give anybody the guy's first name.
I don't either.
Ted Cooper.
So
you didn't want to give him his first name, and now you...
Well, I saw his car pulling away from my house at about 3:30 one morning when I came back from the restaurant, and she thought I was in San Francisco because she called me that day, and I was in San Francisco. Well, guess what? There's a thing called airplanes. You've heard of those, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yes, I've heard of airplanes.
Well, guess what I did?
You got on one and flew to L.A.
There it is. Give the boy a cigar. I got on one, and I flew to L.A., and I came home that night, and she thought I was still up in San Francisco. And she said, oh, well, I'm so glad you're home. And I spelt that cheap
Boy, what is that lousy, that Axe? You know that cheap cologne these guys wear?
Yeah.
The place reeked of it. And so the funny part, here's what I did. His birthday was it was July 7th. I got him about three bottles of that Axe, right? And I said, here's to you. I said, Ted, here's happy birthday from the other Ted, Ted Belts. We call ourselves the two Teds. And I said, happy birthday. Here's a case of Axe. You can put it on a Friday night or use it to get rid of rats, you know? And I said, I know I have, huh?
And okay, so you point made. That sounds like a horrific situation.
No, it's fine.
All right, well, then getting back to the stadium.
So getting back to the stadium, I don't care how they build it, but if they build it, and please keep this in mind, and I want everyone out there listening, especially in the Los Angeles area, especially in the business community, if they build a stadium for football in L.A., okay, you can take to the bank the fact that I, Ted Bell, I'll have one of the luxury suites between the goal lines. It's not an if. It's not a maybe. I will.
And now, do you know what the procedures or the protocols are? Because I don't know how they do that exactly.
I don't either. I mean, it doesn't make any difference because I put them on notice. I put this guy on shoots on notice. I put everybody associated with this endeavor on notice, including the city councilwoman. I forget her name. I said, I get one of those boxes. Now, let me tell you something, Phil. I'm Ted Bell. I've got a steakhouse. It's in Beverly Hills. It does great business. People know who I am. I am Beverly Hills to a lot of people. You don't put a football stadium in the city of Los Angeles, and you don't put a football team in that stadium, and you don't schedule games and then have the games take place with a band and with people dancing and the field and this without Ted Bell. Ted Bell will always be there. See?
Well, Ted, so far it sounds like you're simply on the strength of your reputation, which I understand is a very strong one, you say it's a fait accompli.
Absolutely.
That you will have a luxury box, but you've not taken any steps to secure that.
Yes, I have. What do you mean I haven't taken any steps?
Well, what are those?
I'm saying it. That's the steps I'm taking. I wrote a letter to this guy, Anschutz. I'm saying it on your radio show. I said it on the John and Ken show. I'm going to say it on the Rusty Humphrey show. I'll say it on The View. I don't care where they put me. I don't care what they feed me. I don't care what's in the green room. I don't care whether they limo me to the studio or I drive myself. I will say, and I say this with humility, but I say it nonetheless, I get one of the boxes. Me. Okay?
Why would you feel you need to come out preemptively and make this statement?
I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. You understand? And
I mean, obviously there's going to be competition, but I'm sure that arrangements between gentlemen, can be made.
Well, you know, arrangements can be made, but I don't want anybody muscling in. I don't want anybody thinking they're going to muscle. No one's going to muscle me out. No one muscles me out. No one. So I heard, for instance, I'll give an example. I heard that this Jay-Z, whatever this guy is, all of these hip-hop guys, they think they're going to muscle me?
And is that what you're hearing now, the hip-hop community?
Yeah, a lot of these guys that are hip, you know, these guys, this Jay-Z. And now I hear that this, what's your name, the one from Jersey Shore, this Snooki, all of these people, they think they're going to tell Ted Bell what he's going to do? This is my town, okay?
Well, look, ultimately, the people who have the financial interest in building and maintaining the stadium as well as getting a tenant are going to have the final say.
And if that's the case, then Ted Bell's at the top of the list. And all the hip-hop artists, all the rappers, everybody, they go behind me. You stand in line behind Ted Bell. And yes, I'll put it this way. One white face and a whole bunch of black faces behind him, okay? You want me to, you know?
That wasn't necessary.
Well, I mean, not of it necessary. I'll just put it anyway. Anybody, just so I'm clear. No one, and that includes. I don't care if it's Suge Knight. I don't care if Notorious. That Biggie guy? Whoever. I don't care if they're still around. They're still kicking. They come back from the dead. It's Night of the Living Hip Hop. I don't care. Me, I get one of those suites. Now, I hope I've made myself clear.
Why are you panicking here?
I'm
not panicking, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're some kind of an emotional mania here, panicking about a luxury suite.
Because I've seen what some people do, and I see how people get screwed and hosed out of things. It's not happening to me. I've waited for years for football to come back to this town, and if football is going to come back to this town, it's not another broken promise, and we are going to have a stadium, and it's going to be downtown? No way. Ted Bell doesn't cut. I don't get cut out of that at all. Nobody cuts me out of that. No, I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on. And if that means literally bells on, I'll walk in there with bells attached to my shoes. I'll walk in with bells attached to my hat. I'll wear a hat with bells. I'll do whatever I do. Not because somebody told me, but because I told them. They're not going to say, why don't you come with bells on? I'm going to say, I'm coming with bells on.
I understand what you're saying, Ted. I understand. So this is about you making sure that you're going to...
And by the way, Phil, you are with me. Okay? This isn't just Ted Bell. This is Ted Bell and his friends. See, when you're with Ted Bell, everyone gets well. And I know that rhymes. I didn't mean it to rhyme. But, you know, you get... When Bell's in town, everyone gets well.
Hello?
You lost the line.
I'll say you lost the line, but he was just saying some stuff that I really like, as a matter of fact. He said, when Bell's in town, everyone gets well. Why don't we take this opportunity to take a break then, huh?
Yeah, you're going to have to go down back. I don't want to happen to land there.
Whatever that's said, but I didn't understand you. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Ted Bell and the luxury box that he says, yes, he will have if they open that Farmer's Field in L.A., the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. I hope I'm clear. If there is a stadium built in L.A., I get one of the luxury boxes, but that means Phil Henry can use it.
What?
You wanna put our meeting in what?
I just want to be clear. I get to use the box with you.
Yes, yes, yes. One thing about Ted Bell, and I think that I like to think, Phil, that any of us who have friends and any of us that have a reputation and we want to be considered to be honorable men, I don't think there's any doubt, Phil, that when we say something, it goes.
Well, hold on,
because I want to say this. Because I've been a sponsor of your program for a long time, Phil. And I want you to know something. When Ted Bell says that he's bringing you along, you're with me all the way.
I appreciate that very much.
You're with me all the way. When I say that you're going to be in that luxury box come game day at Farmer Field or whatever the hell they call it, and I hope and pray they don't. I really do. I hope and pray to God they don't, because I think that is death. You know, you live in the most sophisticated city in the world, and we've got movie stars, and they got a farmer, you know, why don't they call it Farmer John's, why don't they call it the shed, you know?
I think it's just the farmer's insurance. I don't think it's anything heavier than that, you know?
Oh, you don't think it's heavier? No? Is it heavy, baby? So what are the problems we've got here?
You know what? I'm speaking the language that I speak. Excuse me.
No, I know that, but we've got to get classy in this town. We have been acting like pigs long enough. We live in a pigsty called the planet Earth. And the United States has turned into the one really ripe compost heap in the whole pigsty. And L.A. is the choice place where every pig goes to let it rip. Okay? So when you say, oh, hey, heavy baby... What I'm trying to say is...
All right, so excuse me for using a colloquial phrase like that.
What I'm just trying to say here is, we got to class it up. I'm not going to a ballpark called Farmer Man or Farmer Boy.
Farmer's Field, that's the name of it.
Well, to me, it sounds hillbilly.
So are you giving up your box?
I ain't giving up any... What do you mean, am I giving up my box? What does that mean?
The football.
The football. No, I'm not giving that up. What I'm saying is I hope that we have a little bit more of a sophistication going on in this town, as it pertains to that ballpark. That's all. But when they open that ballpark up, by God, I'm going to be there. I'll be there, or someone answers for it.
All right, we're talking to Ted Bell here about the new stadium. So what I'm hearing from you is that it really doesn't much matter whether the stadium is there or not, as long as you are included as a renter or the leaser or whatever of a box there. It says here that AEG, Ted, is working on state legislation to limit the type of legal challenges, including one it fears from backers of a competing stadium proposal in the city of industry. Now, this is where I was talking to people about this $10 million. They were going to build a stadium in Irwindale. What if the stadium is somewhere else?
Well, if it's someplace else other than L.A., if you're telling me that there's going to be a stadium in Irwindale, and I know that we're on nationally, let me just say this to the people that are listening. Irwindale is the California equivalent of Alamogordo right after they tested the first bomb. And
don't be stupid, okay?
I'm not being stupid. What do you mean stupid?
What do you mean Alamogordo after they tested the bomb?
Irwindale is a... There's nothing there. You trying to tell me there's something there?
Yes, there is something there. There's a brewery there. There's a city there.
There's a brewery there. That's what I've been able to see. I haven't seen a house. I haven't seen a road. The only road they got in Irwindale is 10 that goes right through it. Now, I'll say it again. Irwindale reminds me of a place. It reminds me of a South Pacific atoll right after the French said, we get to blow an H-bomb too. Watch this. Wee-wee. There you go. That's Irwindale. After the frogs got done with it.
You know something, man? You must really hate Irwindale or something.
I'm not going to any ballpark out there. I can bet that much. You know.
Well, I'll tell you this. Is that because of the locale?
It's because of the locale.
Well, that was one idea, Irwindale, and then there's another one called the City of Industry.
Same reason. I won't go there either. I'm not going to go anywhere where they've traded in industrial parks and gangs.
Boy, that's pretty hardcore. Irwindale may be an industrialized area, and the same for the City of Industry, but, you know, to say that it's gang-ridden...
Why do I see all of that graffiti and everything? I don't know. I don't like it. I'll go downtown, that's it. I don't care. And you know something? If you are involved at all, anybody listen to me right now, if you're involved at all in putting the stadium in Los Angeles, and you don't want Ted Bell to come anywhere near you or your stadium, put it in Irwindale. And I guarantee you...
Boy, that's insane.
You calling me insane?
Yeah.
I think you're insane going there. You know, you grew up out there, right?
I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley. I don't want to make this into old home week, okay? The fact is, the Los Angeles City, like so many other cities, it has a metropolitan area. It has a second and third ring suburban area. And a lot of these ballparks that they have proposed over the years... This is the first time I ever heard of anybody saying, let's go ahead and put a stadium downtown. Los Angeles never seemed like it had the room, but I guess it does. And
it would be way better to put it downtown. You know it. I know it. Everybody involved knows it. You got to be out of your mind to put the stadium in Irwindale.
What about traffic coming downtown?
What about it? Put in that. How long are they going to fool around with that Metro Rail? I've been telling them for you. What's that? No, I don't want. Get that out of here. Banana split for dessert. You want one, Bill? Well, I'm going to have to take it over to you.
Yeah, I'd love one.
Well, I can't do it. You're too far away.
Okay, then don't ask me.
Okay, then I won't ask you. Hey, Phil, we're having banana splits for dessert, but you don't get one. Does that feel better? How's that feel, huh? Is that going out a little smoother? You're going to need a little, preparation agent.
Okay, fine. Let's get back to the discussion here. The football stadium downtown.
Put in the Metro Rail. Get serious about that. See, we don't have anybody in L.A., Phil, that knows what they're doing. We don't have any city fathers. We don't have any city mothers. We don't have any city sisters. We don't have any city nephews. We need a city something. We need somebody who will run. I have volunteered, I don't know how many times, but they don't want Ted Bell involved because if I'm involved, I get stuff done. So they can put their stadium wherever they want to. They put it out in Irwindale. That means more cars on the freeway. That means they won't get the Metro Rail done. And it'll be 1975 all over again. And I won't go near it. I won't go near it with your season tickets. I'm Ted Bell. How's that?
That's a real... Well, look at Ted. We'll see what happens. I hope they do put it downtown because you have, after all, promised me that I will be sitting there, next to you.
Well, now that you've been giving me crap...
Ted's
Well, what does that mean?
It means I changed my mind. Come on down. All right, everybody, come on down.
Well, wait, hold on for a minute.
Don't interrupt me while I'm doing the commercial.
Hold on for a minute. You turn that off. You said that I was going to be able to go to that ballpark with you if you had the season tickets.
Now, look at this. I didn't get my commercial when they're playing that lousy bumper music on your show. Oh!
We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I think he collapsed and is crying.
That's right.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the one coast. What the hell
on the west coast
1 a.m. on the west coast. It is 5 after 12 on the west coast and to 4 a.m. on the east coast. It's 5 after 3 on the east coast. Here it is a Saturday morning. And tonight at 7, of course, we are on our KFI show in Los Angeles. If you want to watch the video cast for anybody anywhere around the world, please do join us at philhenryshow.com. Our video cast is on right now. As a matter of fact, people can see behind the scenes as to how it is this show is done. Other things to mention to you. Trying to think. I think that that's just about. We got all kinds of things going. Of course, we have our website and we have our merchandise store and we have our all of the things that we offer there, including the archives and, as I mentioned, our archive video. So head on over to philhenryshow.com. If you want to join us on Twitter, we're there. We're all over social media, and by that I mean we probably don't get it, but we're doing it. Google Plus, I don't know about Google Plus.
Yeah, I don't know anybody. No one I know about that. And everybody's using BlackBerry Messenger, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard about.
Well, you got to have a BlackBerry to do BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody that I talk to says the same thing, which is essentially this. They say that it's all they can do to figure out damn Twitter and Facebook. I got Google Plus, and I know that there are people. I talked to Joel Denver, who will be our host at the National Association of Broadcasters. Joel loves Google Plus.
What did he do with it?
Well, I mean, he understands it. He gets it. He understands it, and he loves it. He loves it, man. And he's on Facebook. He loves the hell out of Facebook. I like Twitter for the many reasons that people give, which is that it's more of a conversation than it is sort of a presentation. But nonetheless, we're over at Twitter, and if you want to come over and say hello to us, and we'd be happy to talk to you guys, we're at twitter.com/realphilhenry, twitter.com/realphilhenry. We also have twitter.com/phsideas. If you want to pitch an idea to the radio show, we're more than happy to do that. And I think Bobby Dooley is over there, and I think that Jeff Dowder, who we just heard this evening, he has a Twitter account as well. So join us at Twitter. Art Bell is going to be stopping by this hour. Anthony, in a manner of speaking, Anthony Soul will be, I was going to say Anthony Soul is going to be with us. How is that possible?
You know, that guy's a murderer, man.
It would be kind of cool. Anthony Soul, the serial murderer, will join us for a conversation. No, Anthony Soul gets the death penalty, and real witches are upset with the HBO hit series True Blood. Plus, should governments shut down social networks during riots? That's what... we're going to talk about right out of the gate here. Check us out on the web at philhenryshow.com. All right, here's the thing. Facebook, RIM, what is RIO? Research in Motion. We'll find out what and who they are. We'll be meeting with the UK, the government of the UK, over proposed social media bans when it comes to controlling crowds, controlling people, and keeping them from committing violent, illegal acts. It's a very, very tough argument to make because, as I was just saying to Rance, and he was saying to me, you know, you can't really talk that way if you are saying, on the one hand, oh, we got to shut down social media, and on the other hand, you had the Egyptian riots and you had the Saudi Arabia, or you had the Iranian thing and the Iraqi thing, or whatever was going on. And I said to him, well, you know, look, I know the difference between what was happening in Iran and what was happening in Britain. And he says, yeah, you know, you're going to lose that argument in a democracy. You'll win that argument in Iran. If I say, I want to shut down social media in a democratic free society like Great Britain and the United States, when violence, when civil unrest, when this domestic violence erupts, because we have to keep people safe. All right. Well, then someone says, what about when it was going on in Iran? And I say, because the Iranian violence is being committed by the police. And furthermore, the Iranian violence is in response to these violent acts by the police, and is under it is underscoring a need for the people's wish for political change. What was underscoring the violence in Great Britain were people wanting free shoes, you know.
Well, what all about free shoes?
Well, what was it about then?
Well, I mean,
yeah, what was it about? Oh, guy wanted to get a TV set.
No, it wasn't, man. It was about like you know, they shot that one man. You know.
All right. Well, yes, the shooting of that man in Toppenden, I believe it was, or Toppington, or
yeah, it's called topping off or something.
Don't start screwing it up to be funny, okay?
I don't know what the name of the town is.
In Tottingham, that was it. Tottingham. Top it off. It was the shooting of that young man who was a father of four, a man of color. The very same things that set people on edge in this country. The very same things that will get people really pissed really fast in this country. It happened in Great Britain. Now, the reason why you had the reaction that you had in Great Britain, and in recent days we have in the United States perhaps a more measured response, witness the reaction to the New Year's BART shooting by the BART police officer in San Francisco. There's a very simple reason for this, and people, again, it really bothers me that I got to keep explaining this. It really bothers me.
Well, you know, why don't we, I mean, look at America, there's too much police presence.
No, there isn't. Let me explain why we in the United States, we used to have riots in this country, and by God, we may still have riots in this country if we're not careful. But as recently as Rodney King, we had horrifying instances of civil unrest. We had riots all through the 60s. We've had riots through the history of this country. Americans have been through it. We have experienced it. We understand what that kind of domestic violence, civil violence, what it means, what it accomplishes, what it doesn't accomplish. We are not as ready anymore to take to the streets to do those things because we have a far more understanding and responsive government, because that's what a good democracy does. It eventually learns its lesson and responds accordingly to what the people need. That's what a government is supposed to do. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are listening to me saying, oh, you don't get it, man, Phil. That stuff is still really bad and still this and still that. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's real terrible. I'm saying in comparison, and I've always said this on the show, in comparison to other countries, the United States is light years ahead, and if you have a problem with how things are done here, and I don't blame you if you do, and things are probably really bad for a lot of people, I dare you to go find it better someplace else. The reason why I say that is not because we're so great. The reason why I say that is because the world is so backward. That's how backward the world is, that we seem like we're the top of the heap, and we are.
Yeah, but okay, so how come we don't riot and everything?
I just got done telling you, because we've been through it. We know what this feels like. We know what happens. Somebody got shot. Cop shot him. Where's the cop? Let's see the videotape. What happened? Americans, if you really want to be honest about it, we're far more patient with these things because we've been through it so many times. Are you kidding me? A young man gets shot in Tottingham. He's a father of four. He's a person of color. That's horrible. We got Rodney King, man. We got the videotape of a guy getting beaten repeatedly with these PR-24s and getting tased, okay? So whatever you think you got, we got it and more. So now what they want to do is they want to talk about shutting down social media in Great Britain. Facebook and BlackBerry maker Research in Motion, that is BlackBerry Messenger, for God's sake, are set to meet with Home Secretary Theresa May and other UK officials as the government investigates what roles the platforms played in organizing recent riots in London. Twitter, a service used by rioters and victims alike, said on a statement that it would not be joining the talks. We'd be happy to listen, the statement said. Facebook's official statement read a little differently. We look forward to meeting with the Home Secretary to explain the measures we have been taking to ensure that Facebook is a safe and positive platform in the UK at this very challenging time. On Thursday, UK Prime Minister David Cameron alarmed free speech activists when he told Parliament that the government is examining whether it is possible to prevent suspected criminals from sending messages via social networking sites such as Twitter and Facebook. We're working with the police, the intelligence services, and industry to look at whether it would be right to stop people communicating via these websites and services when we know they are plotting violence. So the argument's a really good argument. It's a tough one. You know, well, how come you guys get to do that? When you said that the Russians and you know all that stuff, they were in, or not the Russians, but the you know the Iranians. Well, you're right. It's a really good point. However, here's the thing: the violence in Iran and the violence in Egypt and the violence now being committed in Syria is being committed by the government against its people. The violence being committed in the United Kingdom is being committed by criminals against the authorities. The violence that's being perpetrated in the UK, the burning down of buildings, is being committed by the people against the authorities. So in that instance, I would say, of course it's cool to shut it down. I'm never going to be able to sell it because people don't understand those subtleties. And law doesn't work that way. You know, the law doesn't, the idea of free speech does not work that way. If it's free speech for one, it's free speech for all. That's how it works. You cannot say, yeah, but in this instance, it's okay. In that instance, it's not.
So what do you think they ought to do?
I don't think they should go near shutting down Twitter and Facebook. I really don't. I mean, ultimately, you know who the decision should be made? It should be made by Twitter and Facebook. Let me ask you a question. If I operate a company and I know that my company is being used by criminals to further a crime, forget about what the United Kingdom thinks. Forget about what David Cameron thinks. And forget about what the United States or the Iranian authorities or anybody. Let's talk about the guys that run Twitter. Hi, are you Twitter? Yeah. Your service is being used by criminals to further criminal conspiracy and to incite violence. So how do you feel about that, Twitter?
Well, I mean,
no, really, no. Come on. Well, no comment.
Oh, okay.
Well, now we know where you stand. I mean, I'd put the pressure where the pressure should be put. I wouldn't put it on the government. I would just keep asking those that provide this service what they think they're accomplishing at this particular time. All right, we're going to come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Art Bell joins us. Plus, why are real witches upset with HBO's True Blood? PhilHendryShow.com for our website, for our podcast, for our HD video, our blogs, our merchandise. It's all there, PhilHendryShow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And now, Ghost to Ghost with Art Bell. East of the Rockies is just south of the Rockies. West of the Rockies is slightly northwest of the Rockies. And if you're south of the Rockies, you're actually north of the Rockies. And now, here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. And thank you, and all the ships at sea, and everyone, everywhere, whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, we surely do thank you, and we welcome you here to this version of Ghost to Ghost AM. I'm Armel, and I am here with you this evening. I'm very happy to be here with you this evening, although I may not be here with you next evening, or the evening after that. I don't really know when I'm here, or when I'm not here. Because I just pop in and out. I'm almost like the, well, I'm like the tooth fairy, something like that. I just do the show whenever I feel like doing the show when I think George is screwing it up. I'm just kidding, George. And welcome here anyway to Coast. This evening, what I thought I would do is dispense with the more glaring and the more garish aspects of Coast to Coast and give you an idea of what I have been experimenting with here over the last few weeks in segueing from my role as the primary and biggest purveyor of conspiracy, paranormal information, so forth. What I'm trying to tell you is that I am considering bringing back what was once my fondest dream, and that's to be a singer. And I know it sounds unusual for a lot of you who've never heard me sing, but I have had and will have and have had a very great desire to sing, especially the popular rhythm and blues, rock and roll, and these sort of pop songs that you've heard me play on this program, such as that one. And so this evening, what I thought I would do is give you a taste of that singing styling that I'm hoping to affect here at some future date. But I cannot allow this program to move much further along without saying first that Twitter, you should have shut down the social media in the United Kingdom, not the government. What were you doing over the weekend with your thumb parked all the way up your rear end? Thank you. And now it's time for this song that I promised you. This is an example of what I feel I can do and what I feel I can offer here in the many, many years I hope that I still have on this earth. I've always had a dream to sing, always want to sing, always will sing. Pardon me for slurring my words, but that's kind of how I like to do it these days. It's not that I drink. It's just I'm trying to chill. Here is my version of Papa Was a Rolling Stone. And this is a song that came out in the late 90s and early 70s by a group called The Temptations. I've chosen this song because this song, more than anything else, reflects my life. General Johnson Jameson is also... Are you there, General?
Yes, Art, I'm here. I'm very interested in...
Well, General, you'll be singing along, won't you?
I will, but I'm interested in hearing how good you sound.
Well, I hope that I do it justice.
I'm sure that you will. I mean, no question. Igor, record this.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
All right.
This is the song Papa Was a Rolling Stone. It was the 3rd of September. The day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. Because that was the day that my daddy died. It was the 3rd, I think this is it right here, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
Of September. Day I'll always remember. Because that was the day my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him, never heard nothing but bad things about him. Go ahead, General.
Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth.
And Mama just hung her head, and she then said... And then she said...
Come on, Bill.
Hold on. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died...
All he left us was alone. Yeah, my papa was a rolling stone, my son. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
When he died...
He left us all alone. Well, well...
Mama, is it true what they say, that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And Mama, bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife.
And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching.
Stealing in dirt and stealing in the name of the Lord, I think is what that says.
And Mama just hung her head and she said...
Papa was a rolling stone, my son.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And wait.
And when he died, that's fine.
All he left us was alone.
Hey now, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat, wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was a home. He left us his home.
He left us alone.
Left us alone. Well, that was pretty bad, Mark.
I don't think it was pretty bad.
No, it was. It was bad. It was, first of all, you didn't practice it, so you don't really know when the singing comes in. You just had that stupid bed.
Well, I thought it was a...
No.
Anyway, that is what I've been hoping to do, and that is what I did. Singing the song Papa Was a Rolling... Shoot. Papa's a Rolling Stone. I don't know. I'm sorry.
This is General Johnson Jameson. It seems to me that the Art Bell bits have run their course. First of all, in order for the Art Bell bit to be any good, Art has to be on every night, and he isn't anymore. Art is not even top of mind. And so it seems that, well...
Phil Hendry.
You're done.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on this Saturday morning, and well, it'll be, it is Saturday morning, and then we will be into our weekend officially here in just a few minutes. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And then tonight, Saturday, 7 o'clock Pacific time, our KFI show locally in Los Angeles. You can watch the videocast here at philhendryshow.com. Now then, in New York, critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV have long had HBO's vampire drama True Blood in their crosshairs. But now the popular series has another group of wary citizens, witches. Real ones.
What do you mean, real ones?
There are witches, but they're not the kind of witches that ride on brooms and boil puppy dog tails and newt's eye and all that crap, you know.
No, they're not evil. Well, what do you mean they're not evil?
Witches apparently are not evil. That's a bad rap that witches got. Probably they got it from the Christian church, which, you know, witches and pagans were constantly vying with the Christian church for the beliefs of the average person. The church did not want the pagans to win that fight, and the church would vilify. And of course, the pagan faith also did its vilification. But one of the things that that has survived is this view of witchcraft as being evil, or even to call it witchcraft. It's a religion called Wicca, and there are practitioners of it.
Yeah, well, you don't know, man. I mean, some of that stuff's kind of dark, isn't it?
You're right, I don't know. But what I do know about it, it's this stuff about black magic as horse dung, and it's way overblown. Anyway, listen. Now, this series, and by the way, HBO is a premium channel, which means you have to pay to bring it into your home. So you may criticize the programs, but what do you mean they got it in their crosshairs? They ain't going to do anything about it. What are you talking about? This is Reuters. Critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV. Well, critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV have nothing to say about a premium channel that people have to pay for to bring it into their homes. Don't be stupid. In other words, if it was on over-the-air television or on a cable service that you didn't pay extra for, but that it was just part of the basic cable package, you might have an argument. But if you don't like True Blood, then don't pay for it, you moron. Who are you people that think you've got something in your crosshairs that's on HBO? You ain't got anything in your crosshairs. You may have a hair someplace.
Yeah, it might be crossed up, too.
All right, easy, bud. Anyway, the series' fourth season is focused on Marnie Stonebrook, played by Fiona Shaw, a seemingly harmless medium and leader of a Wiccan group who becomes the physical conduit for Antonia, a long-dead witch who was hell-bent on vengeance against vampires who persecuted and burned her at the stake. So vampires persecuted her and burned her at the stake. So in other words, this probably has little, if anything, to do with reality. Marnie winds up as the mouthpiece for Antonia's spell to drive the bloodsuckers of fictional true blood town Bond Temps into the daylight. And that sort of deadly revenge, say some modern-day witches, is what gives witchcraft a bad name. I'm absolutely disappointed with the portrayal of Marnie, said one witch and professor of biology at a college in New England, who goes by the magical nickname of Tarna Ravenhawk. Oh, brother. When Marnie gives up her power within, which is a witch's ability to practice the craft without harming others, it allows possession by Antonia to become the... All right, so in any event, the witches are saying that what they believe and what they're laying out is not being portrayed properly in this TV show. Well, join the club, witches, and anybody else, and you vampires out there, yeah, I know you're out there, join the club. They're probably making you look bad. I know vampires are probably cool. It's a TV show. Hello. And while you are afraid that you're being misrepresented, you're never going to be able to change it. And again, it is on a premium channel, meaning you have to pay extra to get it. And forget it, okay? I mean, allow them. I don't think you're going to ever, and I don't think anybody has ever been able to petition a television network, if you correct me if I'm wrong, and change a TV show.
Well, what about The Fugitive?
The Fugitive?
What do you mean? It's a movie.
No, the old one, the old Fugitive, they changed the ending, you told me.
Are you talking about the old Fugitive? They changed the ending?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think that the word leaked from the East Coast to the West Coast and how it ended, but then somebody said they changed. I don't think that's the case. And I don't think that has anything to do with what we're talking about. You know, television is not going to change anything based upon the pressure they get from one of the most ineffective and laughably stupid. And I don't mind it if parents get together and complain about television programs, but when parents are not getting together and not complaining about television programs, and someone says they are anyway, and they come up with the Parents Television Council. This is a group that was organized claiming millions of members. No, you don't have millions of members. You got millions of people that you sent your stupid newsletter to. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if you guys were honest and really attacking shows that are bad for kids. You just attack shows you don't like. And then you call yourself the Parents Television Council. That means that you represent parents, which you don't. And it's just one more little bit of horse dung that people have to fight out there in the public arena of horse dung.
What about these witches? I mean, they got a right to be seen as being okay.
They got a right to be, yeah, everybody. How many witches do you know, bud?
None.
I don't know any. Well, I mean, I might know two or three, but I don't, it's...
What do you mean you know two or three?
I might, is what I'm saying. I don't know. But I don't think bad about witches. I don't even have any contact with witches. I don't know what the hell they want from me, okay? I don't think I've ever discriminated against a witch in my life.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't know if you'd done.
I wouldn't have known if I'd done.
I mean, if you did, you would not have known it.
Somebody get him a drink, man.
No, no kid, man. Come
on. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. You would not never had not done it. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of these witches. One is named Tarna Ravenhawk. Another one is called Bilbo Baggins. I don't know what the hell their names are. But they are talking about how uncool it is to be bashing witchcraft. Christopher Penzack, he co-founded and he's the president of the Temple of Witchcraft. Witchcraft, a religious nonprofit organization based in southern New Hampshire that teaches witchcraft to students worldwide, also had concerns about Marnie's negative impact on the overall reputation of witches. Marnie does communicate with the dead. I'm kidding. Marnie does communicate with the dead, but she comes into witchcraft lacking groundedness, said Penzack, author of The Inner Temple of Witchcraft, Magic, Meditation, and Psychic Development, available now at Amazon. A witch who gets good training usually learns to balance that with discipline, strength, and focus. I would have liked to see a witch who was more competent and had a clearer sense of will and purpose.
I don't know, man.
What a waste of time, man. Another red flag for Penzack is how Marnie had begged... Oh, get out of here with this show, will you?
Here, let me have that.
What are you rolling it up? Use it as toilet paper?
Yeah.
God, man. All right, so, you know, there's a whole thing now, not a whole thing, but I would say since Anne Rice, and we're going back almost 20 years, if not 20 years, the interest in vampires has been quite significant. And when Anne Rice began writing, and I shouldn't say 20 years, I mean, that's when the movie came out 20 years ago, Interview with a Vampire, but her books, I started reading the vampire books as soon as I got to Atlanta, so they must have been out for at least 2 years before that, like 1990. And so I was reading those books. I thought they were interesting because I'm into that kind of gothic horror, but I had no idea that it would become what it has become. It's definitely finally insinuated itself into the culture as a major bit of storytelling, using the vampire and using the witch and using all of these dark things to tell the story of the human race and humankind. But I don't know what it means, you know. I mean, the vampire thing, that's particularly... We try to give a good face to these creatures, but isn't the vampire... It's bad, right?
Well, yeah, it's bad, man. The thing's sucking blood and everything.
Yeah, the vampire's going to make you into the, what they call the undead.
Exactly. Vampire is not cool. The vampire is not a teen heartthrob. Vampires, if you read the original Dracula... Did you ever read Dracula?
No, I never read it.
I seen the movie, though.
Nah, it's got nothing to do with the movie. Nothing to do with it. If you read the book Dracula, the original book that was written by, what's the guy's name? Boris Batanoff. I forget. Who's the cat that, who? Frank Dover? Bram Stoker?
Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker.
Yeah, it's a serial.
All right, so it's the serial Bram... Will you get out of here, the Bram Stoker? Bram Stoker. Frank Dover.
Ben Dover.
Yeah, Ben Dover. Anyway, oh, Interview with a Vampire came out in 1976. Well, there you go. So, any hoozy, if you read that book, the vampire Dracula in that book is an odious creature. His breath is foul. He has hair on the palm of his hands. He just gives Jonathan Harker the creeps. Jonathan Harker is the real estate agent that goes to the open house. I'm kidding, you know.
Did an open house?
No, they didn't have an open house. Jonathan Harker goes to Dracula's castle to say, I say, son, you know.
Yeah, he bought him a castle.
He didn't buy him a castle. I think he bought him an abbey or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, sir, the abbey, it's beautiful. Here it is. Here's the layout. Here's the pool. Here's the spa.
Did they have a pool?
No, they didn't have a pool. I'm kidding, bud. So he describes Dracula as being a very odious creature. So there was nothing in the book that would bespeak a Dracula that is an attractive man or bespeak a Dracula that was alluring to women, at least not from a man's perspective. And again, you know, the book is told from the standpoint of diary entries. You have Jonathan Harker's journal. You have Mina Harker's journal. You have Lucy Wisterna, who is eventually the young girl that I think she's the first one to get vampired up. You know,
she got her blood sucked and she go vampire.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah, Lucy got vampired. Anyway, there's nothing anywhere in any of these entries that would say, "Oh God, isn't he just the man for me?" You know, like. So what we've done is we've taken this classic of vampire literature, which is Dracula, and I don't know if it's the first one. I mean, you know, and we've, you know, done what we do with these things. We try to turn them into heroes. We try to make them more like us. We admire the power they have. We're scared to death of the power they have, and so we must change the mythology to make it more friendly. And make it something that we can live with and make it good. And that's when Anne Rice's vampire book started to get really boring is when she started making these good vampires. Man, I couldn't take that.
Well, what's wrong with that, man? They were living down in South Beach.
Yeah, what is that living in South Beach? She had a bunch of vampires living in South Beach, and they're cool. You know.
What do you mean cool?
They're just hanging out, and they're not hurting anybody. I don't dig it. It would have been cool to have a whole coven of vampires living in South Beach and just turning the place into a wasteland of death and horror. It would have been great. Okay.
But you see, that's why they want to ban Twitter, because of the way you think and everything.
What do they want to ban Twitter because of the way I think, bud?
No, you got to go to commercial, man.
No. Hold on. I want to hear the answer to this. Why are they banning Twitter?
Because of the way you just said what you said about they want to turn it all into a wasteland of death.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what?
That's why they want to ban Twitter.
Hey, bud, there's no such thing as vampires, man. See what I'm saying? So even if I wanted vampires to turn South Beach or London or anywhere into a wasteland of ghoul death, I couldn't do it. Because there are no vampires.
Yeah, but, well,
you understand what I'm saying, man? Even if you got on and said, hey, all you vampires unite, there ain't no vampire.
Well,
you know what I'm saying, man? So just listen to what I'm saying, okay? That's why they want to ban Twitter. Because I'm going to get on there and say, vampires unite.
That's all they're saying.
No, that ain't what they're saying. They're talking about those jackballs that are ripping off stores and taking sneakers and all that other stuff. God.
Easy, man. Your health.
My health. All right, coming back here on the Phil Henry Show, does your cell phone need an airbag? Huh? Do you need an airbag? Do you need an air sickness bag? Amazon.com CEO thinks it might, but is the technology even possible? Are you kidding? Is the technology even possible? A cell phone airbag? Anyway, check us out on the web at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with our final segment in a moment.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show in our News and Information Hour. And we want to thank, of course, Ted Bell for coming on with us. I didn't mean to make you angry, Ted. We were discussing the prospect of a football stadium here in the city of Los Angeles, which, of course, is relevant to all of that. You know, football stadiums are being built all over the country, and we wanted to talk about the economic ramifications of that. But apparently I didn't handle the commercials all that well, and Ted didn't even want to be talking about it, other than to say that whether there's a football stadium or not, he will own a luxury box. So good for you, Ted. Sorry to piss you off. God. And then we had Tim Steelworth, and we appreciate the Vietnam veteran joining us to take to task people that would think Rise of the Planet of the Apes is anything other than an anti-American tome. And exploiting the recent spate of chimp attacks. So, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, I know that Jason Rantz, our producer, had sent me the story about the cell phones needing airbags, but for whatever reason, I took it, wadded it up, and wiped with it. I'm joking.
Yep. I'll find it for you.
No, let's see. He's got it. It's right here. But before I do read that story, we have identified at least one bit of vampire literature. And, Bud, you found this?
Yeah, it's called Vampire. Then it came out. That's the one that Rance told about.
Okay, this is the one that Rance said? Called, what do you mean, Vampire?
Yeah, it's called Der Vampire.
That's German.
Okay, I know it's German.
Yeah, and that's German. And it was written by a guy named Heinrich, and that's German.
Yeah, a guy's name is German. The guy's German. Okay, what else?
Anyway, it's called Vampire. It was written in 1748. By Ossenfoon.
Let me see that. Ossenfelder.
Yeah. You know that guy named Felder? Okay, yeah. Is he Jewish?
I don't know if he's Jewish. What difference does it make?
Well, you know what they say.
You know something? I'm going to belt you. Poor Jewish people have had to put up with that their entire history in this world. Every time something bad happens, it's on account of them, okay? All right. Now, there's only one bad thing that the Jews ever caused. That was the 1919 Black Sox scandal, and that was one guy. Now then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, man.
I'm joking around. Come on.
Man, you're going to get in trouble for that one.
I'm kidding. I said it was one guy. All right. The Vampire, but I'm not going to read The Vampire. I want to get to this story we were going to talk about. Airbags airbags needing cell phones. Cell phones needing airbags. Airbags have saved countless lives in automobiles, but can they save your cell phone? Do you care? GeekWire reports Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos filed a patent application to develop a deployable airbag and other means to protect your phone when it's dropped. The patent application says one in three cellular phones are damaged or lost in the first year. I lost my phone. I'll never forget this. I left it on the hood of my car. I was visiting a friend. Now, I've walked into swimming pools. In fact, the very first cell phone that I owned, if not the second cell phone that I owned, I had it in the pocket of a bathing suit, and I walked into a swimming pool. Okay, great, fine, goodbye phone. The next phone that I owned, I was moving my car one night, visiting a friend, and I got into my car, and I had absentmindedly put my cell phone on the roof of my car. And then I was talking, and then I got into my car and moved it. Well, the cell phone fell off the car and hit the street. And I found it the next day. I don't know that it was run over. It looked like it had been run over, but it still worked.
Oh, it still worked?
Yeah. It still worked for, you know, a couple months, and then it petered out. But airbag wasn't about... I'll tell you one thing that the airbag would have done. Had the phone fallen off the roof of my car and hit the ground and deployed an airbag, I probably would have seen it.
Yeah, you would have seen the airbag deploy. And you would have gone, hey, the airbag deployed, and I got to go back and see is that my phone, you know?
Well, it's bound to be my phone.
Yeah, well, why? Well, it could be anybody.
How often? What do you mean it could be anybody's, man? I drive the car, the phone falls, an airbag deploys. Oh, it's some other guy's phone?
But it could be.
You know, I was the only guy out there that night, man. Believe me when I tell you, if an airbag deployed on a phone, it was mine. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And for all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, remember our website, philhenryshow.com, our merchandise, and, of course, our podcasts and our archives. Until tonight at 7 for the KFI Show, a very pleasant good evening to each and every one of you. The Vampire, 1748, written by Heinrich August Ostenfelda.
Jawohl!
Roger.